Okay, I just gave a talk commenting about the murder of a Member of Parliament in Britain by a terrorist and the atrocities going on in Bangladesh at the present time, and suggesting that the leaders of the world need to come together and address this problem. I was trolled by, and still the trolling is going on, by so many desktop warriors for not recommending we should fight like Krishna did, like Krishna told Arjuna to do. I was trolled for not being anti-Islamic. Well, my response to this is that you are playing into the hands of the extremists by calling for fighting. They want fighting. They want polarization. Most of the Muslims in Bangladesh and in the world, as much as I have seen, and I dare say in my 64 years in this world, I've interacted with a lot more Muslims than most Hindus have done, and most white people from Britain have done. I'll talk about that a little later. Most people want to live in peace. They want to raise their families. They don't want to put their families into a violent situation. But if you get all militaristic and say we're going to fight, we got to fight and kill all the Muslims, then they will naturally they'll think, okay, then we got to get in the fighting mood too. So I'm not saying that we should just recommend some utopian kind of peace policy. And definitely in Bangladesh, the government has to try and get on top of the situation to control it by force, which means violence is required to quell the present violence. It's not easy to do for the Bangladesh government, and it's not a long-term solution. We should, first of all, look and see if there is a long-term solution. Simply sitting and making or sending some comment, kill all the Muslims. We're simply increasing the hatred. You can say fight, kill, all these things, but you're not going to do it. The only fighting you know is computer games. You tell you, yeah, be like Arjuna, and then you go on and just some brainless, then you go on to something else brainless on YouTube. You don't know how nasty actual fighting is. Your only experiences are from YouTube and computer games. It's a very nasty thing. You don't know how much grief and pain that. Fighting is required sometimes, yes, but we should not try to. We should be very careful to avoid, as far as possible, a situation in which everything just goes out of control, and then one party is fighting another, and they're fighting, and at some point they even forget why exactly they're fighting. They don't know. It's just some. It's like a fire, but with a fire you can put it out at some point, but this kind of fire just goes on and on and on. My mother's family's from Northern Ireland, where for hundreds of years the Protestants and the Catholics, they are fighting with each other. There were some battles some few hundred years ago, and they're still fighting about that. There's no sane reason for that, but just in the name of religion. And the atheists, they'll say, you see, in the name of religion, it's stupid. It is stupid in the name of religion to fight, because it to fight like that and to hate other communities, because that's not what religion is all about. It's not what religion is supposed to be. Now, you may say that, yeah, you can talk peace and they'll just take advantage. Other party will take advantage. We have to fight. Again, those who say this, they're typing in, fight, 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 they'll be the first ones to run away. Okay, there is a problem. There is a problem of extremism in the world. The world is becoming extremely polarized. It was like that before the First World War. It was like that before the Second World War. It's called in Sanskrit Samsara Dhavanala. It's compared to a forest fire, which no one goes to the forest to set the fire, but somehow the situation comes that a fire just comes up, and then there's so much destruction. So it's like that. When the karmic reactions, they boil up, and then people start to hate each other, and then they just start to kill each other. It's not necessary in human society. Religion should teach people how to live in such a way that we don't commit more and more sinful activities. Religion should teach how we can live peacefully for the worship of the Supreme Lord. But if we simply, everyone can see your comment. Muslims are seeing also. They're seeing your comment, we should kill all the Muslims. And then what? Then, all right, okay. You say, okay, Hindus, go kill some Muslims. Go kill some, okay. And what do you think they're going to do? Then they're going to come and kill some Hindus. And then it'll go back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. And then no end to it. And it'll create so much distress. Now, many wrote that, well, Krishna incited Arjuna to fight. Do you know Mahabharata? Have you actually studied Mahabharata? Do you know what is in the Shastra, Niti Shastra, which states that in a situation of conflict where people are against you, fighting is the last resort. The technical terms are Sama, Bheda, Dana, Danda. When there is opposition, first of all, by peaceful negotiation, you should try to calm them down by reasonable talk. If that doesn't work, then the next political ploy, this is Niti Shastra. Niti, one meaning can be understood to mean diplomacy. The other thing is to divide the opposition and weaken it. The next is to offer some concessions. And if nothing works, then you fight. And actually in the Mahabharata, this is what... You see what's in Mahabharata? Have you read it? You don't know. Yudhishthira was trying to sue for peace before the fight with Duryodhana. Bhishma, so many, even Karna was telling Duryodhana before the fight. Well, actually, Karna is sometimes hot, sometimes cold. But what I'm saying, even from Duryodhana's side, there were some telling him better to avoid the fight. Krishna himself went to the court of the Kauravas and tried to convince Duryodhana, don't fight, make peace. So there were all efforts before fighting to try to quell the situation by negotiation. And everyone knew, they said among themselves, Yudhishthira said, Bhishma, Krishna, they all said, we know that he's not going to listen. But anyway, it is our duty to try to give good advice. Only when there was no alternative and fighting is inevitable, then when Arjuna was trying to withdraw, then Krishna told him, no, you have to fight. So in that situation, yes, you have to fight. But first of all, it is the duty of a civilized person, of a sane person, to try to avoid that, because you don't know. All you know about fighting is what you saw on some screen. But that's so much distress. You should try to avoid it. That we should learn from Mahabharata. First try to avoid it. Then, if there's no other way, and you may say, no, with these people, it's impossible. Okay, Duryodhana was impossible, but the effort was there to try to convince him. And try to understand also, some people are confused. They're saying, oh, why didn't you mention Islam? You're just trying to be politically correct. Try to understand the situation in Bangladesh. It's very sensitive. I lived in Bangladesh. I was there for several years in the 1980s. I learned to speak Bengali. I traveled extensively in the country. I've traveled extensively in India, much more than most Indians have. I've met with people all over the country, in towns and villages. The situation in Bangladesh at the present time is very sensitive, and any rash words could be taken the wrong way and could result in more violence and more deaths. And you're sitting there trying to kill all of us. You don't know what you're doing. Keyboard warriors. Plus, I am a member of ISKCON, which is an international organization. And I'm speaking as an individual, but what I say, that can rebound on the whole ISKCON institution. So we have temples. We don't want to have them attacked also. That we have to see. If I do not want that this ISKCON society be seen as anti-Islamic, because our guru, Srila Prabhupada, he wasn't anti-Islamic. And you might fault him for that, but he wasn't intrinsically against Islam, because he wasn't intrinsically against anyone or anything. And that is the Vedic message, Vasundhaiva Kutumbakam, seeing everyone as family member. That is the first way we should approach people. Different people are born in different situations according to their karma. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teaching is that we should try to uplift everyone. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was not anti-Islamic. He brought some people from Islam into chanting Hare Krishna. We should also do. If we actually have a better understanding of who is God and what is religion, let us propagate that among them. All right, difficult, can be difficult. But was it not difficult for our Srila Prabhupada to go to the Western world and propagate Krishna consciousness? Is not someone, wherever they're born, whatever religious faith they may be born into, are they not all parts and parcels of Krishna? Do we have to just reject them and hate them because they're not born in the same religion as we are? My experience of being in Bangladesh, traveling extensively in the villages, especially at that time, was that most Muslims are, or let's put it this way, the average Muslim is more religious than the average Hindu. They actually follow, and pretty much all of them believe in God, which a lot of Hindus just don't even bother. But whether there's God, and a lot of them do their fasting during Ramadan, whereas most they know what's in the Quran, whereas most Hindus, they don't even know one verse from Bhagavad Gita. They couldn't even tell you how many chapters there are in Bhagavad Gita. The only thing they maybe know is that Krishna told Arjuna to fight. And then they, without understanding all the subtleties and nuances of that. It's very common in Bangladesh up to the present time that there'll be all night religious gatherings of Hindus and but Muslims in the village, and someone's reciting Quran all night, or they're and people come, and or someone's giving talks, and I know Bengali, and it's not that they're just talking. There's some idea that in Islam they just teach about it's all hatred, but it's not. They're not like that. It's not that everyone is just a complete bigot. So it's easy to say that all Muslims are bad, and probably Muslims, some of them say all Hindus are bad, but it's not like that in my personal experience. I was in the 1980s. I was a young man, as you can understand, but many Muslims, it was a common thing, who they were older than me in years, they would offer me much respect. They didn't have anything to gain from that. Even I might be walking in a field, that often I would go out in the village, in the field, and chant my japa, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And I just come across a farmer early in the morning, alone, and he's not in front of anyone, he doesn't have anything to gain or lose by talking to me, but he's very respectful in his dealings. And so that is my experience. I'm not saying that it's every Muslim is a saint and every Hindu is bad. I'm not saying that. Don't misquote or misunderstand me. But I've had this experience hundreds of times. I addressed crowds of mostly Hindus in Bangladesh, hundreds of times. Spoken, I'd usually speak for 45 minutes or 1 hour, and Muslims would come also. And they'd come and they'd sit and they'd listen and they'd take prasad afterwards, and they didn't have it. There were some occasions where, due to objections, the program was actually stopped. But mostly the Muslims, they were welcoming. In Dhaka, the capital city of Bangladesh, the first temple that ISKCON had there, it's in old Dhaka, the old city, which is just like the old city practically anywhere in India, in Delhi or in Chandni Chowk or in Varanasi, the old city. There's narrow roads and very densely packed and populated. So we have our temple there, and on Janmashtami, thousands and thousands of people come. So the local youth, Muslims, they arrange the bandobast so that everyone can go in and out voluntarily. We don't pay them. And they keep the peace and see that everything goes nicely. Now, there are fanatics who don't like that, among Muslims, who don't like this, and they want to change that. But actually, the Islamic culture in Bangladesh, and I'm speaking in Bengal in general, I'm speaking in a very general way here, but this is my experience, and this is the history also, is that Sheikh Mujibur Rahman, the Bangabandhu, as he's called, known as the father of Bangladesh, in 1971, when he became the ruler of the new country of Bangladesh, one of the first things he did was to call from West Bengal, he called to come and live as the state poet in Bangladesh, Kobi Nazrul Islam. That's a very Muslim-sounding name. It is a very Muslim-sounding name. But actually, Qutb-i Najrul Islam, who in the... Why did he call for a national poet? Because Bengalis, they love poetry. Their language is very beautiful. And it's very... it lends itself very well to poetry. The most famous and reputed poet in Bengal is Rabindranath Tagore, who one of his compositions is the national anthem of Bangladesh, Amar Shonar Bangla Amito Mai Bahalobashi. My golden Bengal, I love you. So this number two famous poet is Qutb-i Najrul Islam. Now, he was, in his poems, he had a very syncretic outlook. If you don't know what that means, it means bringing together and joining together. He married a Brahma. For those of you who don't know, his wife was a Brahma. Brahmaism is a kind of religion that was invented by Hindus in the 19th century as trying to make a modernistic alternative to Hinduism, but practically it's, for all practical purposes, it's merged back into Hinduism. So he wrote so many poems that we shouldn't make any distinction, Hindu, Muslim, we're all worshipping the same God. And this was the poet who was called to be the national poet of Bengal. There are so many things I can say. I went to a village once, which was the home place of Vanshidas Babaji, a great Vaishnava saint. And I was speaking there with some of the young boys, and they're all very proud that we have a great saint in our village. They're Muslims, but they don't have that kind of distinction like that. Now, you may say I'm painting. All right, I am painting a somewhat one-sided picture. I'm just saying, see the other side also. I'm not saying that Hindus in Bangladesh haven't suffered and are not suffering now, but I'm just saying that before we go to the violence that may be necessary, but we should try, as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu tried, as Srila Prabhupada tried and recommended, let us try to reach the heart of these people. Actually, I just quoted that, didn't I? Amar Shonar Bangla Amitomai Bhalobashi. This word Bhalobasha. In Bengali language, it's a very important word, and it means love, affection. And it's a very important word. It's very important among Bengalis does someone love me? The feeling of affection. There's also, because it's the material world, another common word is hingsha, which means in Bengali it doesn't just mean only violence, but it also means it's like dvesh, or an attitude of just the opposite of love, an attitude of unnecessarily being inimical. But I just want to say that the situation, it's not one-sided. And we should, instead of just saying, they're all bad, hate them all right, I agreed that since the 1980s, this militant Islam has come up in the world and is making its influence in Bangladesh also. But that is from what most people in the world, if we think about it, it is a serious problem. That should be addressed. But we shouldn't think that just all Muslims are latent terrorists, which is the kind of attitude I'm getting there. It's not just in Bangladesh. How many Rath Yatras have I attended in India where Muslims also attend? In Baroda, usually every year I'm in Baroda in Gujarat, Vadodara, for Rath Yatra. And in two places, huge crowds turn out, and we go through two Muslim areas with the Rath Yatra. There's never been any communal violence. But on the other hand, the leaders of the Muslim communities come out, and they come onto Jagannath's Rath, offer him garlands, take prasad. You may say it's all insincere and this and that, but I don't think so, because in some places, just like I saw in West Bengal, in one area, one Muslim, he sponsored the revival of Durga Puja in one area in West Bengal. And there are many says, just a few years ago, I was in a village in Telangana, and it was Muslim festival. I'm just forgetting the name now. It's Muharram. And Hindus are also celebrating. It's a Shia festival. And then I asked him and said, yeah, and the Muslims, they also join in with the Hindus in celebrating their festivals. That used to be the normal thing throughout India. It is even now, today, the Ram Navami in North India, so many Muslims will take part in the festivities. There are so many things I could say. There is a problem. Let's not deny it. Religious extremism is a problem, and it needs to be addressed. The attempts of government so far to contain it have not been very successful. On the one hand, they don't want to just clamp down, and they don't do some pogrom like the Hitler did with the Jews. They don't do that. But there is a problem, just like in the United Kingdom. There is so many attempts or trying to do what they can to contain the extremism. But you see, again, there's murder. But then if you say, well, just kill, but suppression by violence isn't working. So what it is, ultimately, it is a religious question or an ideological question. It appears to be, at least the prima facie evidence is that within certain religions especially, and particularly in Islam, there is a tendency for radicalization, as it's called, is particularly within that religion. What to do about it? Ultimately, we have to come to we can say, be nice, be good, be a good citizen, but ultimately we should come to the question, what is the nature of God? What is the nature of religion? What is reality? Now, most Hindus, they're clueless. They have some vague idea that God is all one or all the gods are the same. And then they just type in fight, kill. But there is serious discussion is required about the nature of reality. This is the actually important question. And then atheists will say, no, there's just forget all this religion. But religion isn't going to go away. It's an inherent human need to communicate with the divine. And again, the atheists will say, well, there is no divine. But then there is the tendency in humans, which isn't going to go away, to seek the divine. Somehow that seeking the divine gets mixed up and messed up with some of the most opposite to divine kind of tendencies. Ultimately, it's an ideological problem. or it's an ideological issue. That's why I say the leaders of the world should come together and seriously discuss what is the direction of human society. It's not just the religious terrorism and Islamic terrorism or what. It's not just that. The whole world is increasingly full of hatred. What is the direction of human society? Where are we going wrong? We're going wrong everywhere. What is the root cause of that? Now, I can say that I can give some very good answers to that. And many others may also say, yeah, I can give some very good answers. I can say, I can give some very good answers to that according to Bhagavad Gita and the Vedic knowledge. And others will say, well, I'll give some very good answers to that according to Islam. And someone will say, I'll give some very good answers according to Christianity. And someone else will say, I'll give very good answers according to humanism. Okay, let's try and work something out. At least we should try to do that, first of all, in India and South Asia. This constant tension going over, actually it's going over centuries, between Hindus and Muslims. And now it's Hindus and Christians also. So actually, what is religion? Let's come to the point. Instead of making piecemeal declarations, let us discuss what is actual religion. Let the leaders come together, discuss publicly. Let us see. Now, of course, simply by discussion we cannot know God, but there is a lot spoken about God and a lot of preaching about God. So let's see whose concept is best, and then let us follow that. Fighting isn't just physical, it's ideological also. There's actually a fight going on for the mind of humankind. Now, I'm certain that if properly understood, first of all, and properly presented, that people of open-minded intelligence will accept the message of Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. People are actually sincere and thoughtful. And you may say, well, certain religions make people very close-minded, although I don't see that people are typing in fight, kill. I don't see that they're very open-minded or very sincere to deeply understand anything religious. But again, there are many who I've also met, Muslims who have confidentially, of course, told me that they would, and Christians also, they're socially caught in a situation, but they're very interested to know what the Vedic knowledge is. They can recognize that the Vedic knowledge is actually very, very deep. So we live in a Kali Yuga where people act first and think afterwards, but they don't think at all. Let us bring society to a higher level of consciousness. That should be our first effort. Otherwise, we just sink down into fighting and revenge, and there's no end to it. If there's no alternative, then fight. But then you should know that there's going to be no end to this. It'll just be fighting and more fighting and generation after generation. And then there can be no discussion. Let us try, if we actually have something better to offer, let us do our utmost to bring that to others, to raise the level of consciousness. Definitely people who just on some rumor, they go out and attack and kill others, they're not on a very high level of consciousness. We should do what we can to raise people's consciousness by giving them knowledge of who actually is God? What is the nature of the soul? What is the nature of reality? That is the purpose of this International Society for Krishna Consciousness, to give spiritual knowledge. We're not propagating some sectarian religion. It's meant for everyone to understand. Now, definitely, if our temple is attacked, we should do everything we can to defend it. But we shouldn't provoke a situation where there's going to be endless violence. So, my message to all these who would say, you should be like Krishna and tell Arjuna to go and fight. Just be a little sane. Understand the situation. You're not going to go out and fight. But by typing that in, you are provoking a situation in which others will be more inclined to attack you. And not you, but maybe others who identify themselves as Hindu. Actually, is Hindu, Muslim. What is all this? We're all parts and parcels of God, Krishna. Mamai vangsho jiva loke jiva bhuta sanatanaha. This is in Bhagavad Gita. Every living being is part and parcel and a servant of God. Why don't we try to understand this? Let us try. And don't just idly sit, fight, kill. Come to a higher level of consciousness yourself. That you can do. If you're actually better, if your religion is better, then practice it. Study Bhagavad Gita as it is. Do sadhana. Rise early in the morning. This is what you're supposed to do. If you're actually following Sanatana Dharma, you should rise early in the morning. You should chant the holy names of God. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. You should know what's in Bhagavad Gita. You should take guidance from proper guru. You should dedicate your human life for God realization. Not that I'm a Hindu, I don't like Muslims, and just say Hindu, Muslim, and you're just completely materialistic, basically. Hare Krishna. Vancha kalpa tarubhyascha kripa sindhubhyevacha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. Dante nitaya chunakang padayane patya kritvacha kakushatamedadaham bravimi. He sadhava sakala evi vihaya durat. Gauranga chandra charne kurutanu raga ha. Parivadatu jano yata tata va nanamokarona vayang vichara yamaha. Hari rasa madhira madati mata bhuvi vilutama nartama nirvishama. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.